What's up, interpreters? This is James Berlin. I'm a conservation interpreter at the Dallas Zoo right now, as well as a senior guest experience associate at the Children's Aquarium in Dallas.
What's up, interpreters? This is Heather from NAI. I'm your corporate engagements and partnerships manager.
What's up, interpreters? This is Emily McCowan. I'm NAI's visual branding specialist. James, thanks for joining us today. I know that, as you just said, you're the conservation interpreter at the Dallas Zoo. Do you want to explain a little bit how you got into that role?
Yeah, absolutely. The Dallas Zoo has always been my home facility. I moved to Texas when I was 6 years old and continued going to the Dallas Zoo growing up. So when I moved out of the state and was kind of traveling around to different countries and ran out of money, I was looking for a place to go that I would be able to continue my passion as conservation and protecting wildlife. And so I found my place at the Dallas Zoo, and especially because of Mama's cooking. Mama's close to Dallas, so makes it nice to go and get a nice meal every once in a while.
Did you say you had two jobs?
I do, yeah. I'm a senior guest experience associate and at the Children's Aquarium in Dallas. Originally, I had taken a seasonal position at the Dallas Zoo. And so during that seasonal position, I was like, I don't like to not move. So I was like, oh, let me go and do some volunteering. And so I found the Children's Aquarium in Dallas. It's actually one of the oldest aquariums in the state of Texas, one of the oldest in the United States. It was built in 1936, so long before I was born. And so I thought it was interesting, and I started volunteering there. And after my seasonal position with the Dallas Zoo was done, I took a full-time job there. They even were like, come on, we got you, right? Because I had already showed them a lot of those interpretive abilities. So what I do there now is a lot more of those guest services focused things, is checking people in, being that first smiling face when they come on in, talking about the building, helping them pet a stingray, especially those who are afraid. You know, it doesn't matter whether you are 3 years old or you are 73 years old. You might be scared to pet a stingray. And when you see me over there smiling, talking about that they're perritos de agua, which means puppies of water, you know, I think it just gets people so much more excited. So not only am I helping from that perspective of money exchange or birthday parties, I'm also doing my part in teaching about conservation and making a physical connection with wildlife.
So I'm kind of curious, obviously interpretation is not in your title. When did you stumble upon interpretation? And I guess you're probably doing some interpretation now too. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. At the Dallas Zoo, it's pretty much full-time. I mean, my entire job is being the smiling person out in the park, helping create empathy for the wildlife that we have there, as well as the animals that we have in the habitats. And so it's a really incredible experience. And at the aquarium, I kind of take a little bit of a different part on that, where I work more of a guest service position, you know, being the face when people first come on in, as well as educating us that as part of our job. And helping people really hands-on with wildlife that I don't get as much with the Dallas Zoo.
And when did interp come into your life? When did you, because a lot of people don't know what interpretation is, right? Even if they're doing it, a lot of times they don't really know that that's what they're doing. Do you kind of remember when maybe interpretation came into your life?
Yeah, well, I grew up with ADHD, so I always loved talking. So I could talk anybody's ear off about animals and wildlife. And I actually graduated high school when I was 16 years old in 2016. And so, you know, I was focusing so much on school, I hadn't had a job yet. So when I graduated, I actually took a job as a ranch hand, as well as selling grass-fed beef and pasture-raised pork and chicken. And I was working farmers markets, so really teaching people about the health benefits of it, as well as animal welfare things when it comes to eating and making safe animal purchases and meat purchases and things like that. So at the time, I didn't know that it meant what it meant to be an interpreter, but I fit into the role very quickly.
I hope you don't mind, but you brought up ADHD. Do you mind talking a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. ADHD is a huge part of me, right? And growing up, my mom was like, oh, don't say it. Don't label yourself as ADHD, but it is a part of me. And I was born in 1999, so those early 2000s were very rough for people with ADHD, especially for me. I was living in the middle of Idaho, so I didn't always have the best experiences with teachers and people who educators in specifically, whether it was at a facility or in my school growing up. And so it, you know, my image of education was super difficult. And we moved to Texas. There was somebody incredible, a teacher who started to help me along with it. And then I was able to move off of my medication at the time. And I went out and worked with my grandparents on a ranch and really was learned how to handle a lot of the energy. But it's helped me in this field because I want to be the interpreter and educator that I didn't have growing up. And so being able to give a kid that special experience that I never had is super important. And I wouldn't have that if I didn't have a brain that was just a tad bit different than others.
Thank you for sharing that. That's exactly what I was specifically going to ask, is kind of how it has affected you and your job. And it sounds like it's been a positive effect, which is awesome. James, you had talked a little bit earlier, and I'm not even sure, this may have been before we were really recording for the podcast, but traveling a little bit, do you travel with work? Is that your passion and spreading hope in other places?
Yeah, so some of it is the Dallas Zoo. The Dallas Zoo has had some incredible opportunities, and it's an international conservation organization, which I love to say because it means our impact is so much bigger in what I do. So yeah, I mean, I've been sent on a trip before when I went down to help in South Padre Island with sea turtles, but most of the other traveling is just paying off of an interpreter's budget and really wanting to see the world. I think in order to really grow my passion, visiting other places and really seeing how people live is so important. So that when I meet people at the zoo and they say they're from Colombia and I'm just ecstatic and start speaking to them in Spanish about, you know, what I love about Colombia, it means so much more. So a lot of the traveling is pretty much on my own, but I make do with it.
James, just being curious, what's been your favorite trip, sort of interpretation field related?
Ooh, so my first trip out of the country, I bought my ticket 2 weeks before and left. I went to the middle of the Amazon in Ecuador. I bought a ticket and left 2 weeks later. I had messaged a facility just a little bit before that was taking volunteers, and I went down there. Now, mind you, this is December of 2020. So we had gone through lockdowns and so many places were still in mask procedures. So I was lucky to just get out of the country, right? And I arrived there, and as I'm coming out of the Andes Mountains into what is the Amazon rainforest, as far as I can see, I start crying, right? Because it was such an incredible experience being there. And I think that was just, it sticks in my mind forever. So when I talk to people about protecting these amazing wild places, but especially the Amazon, it's so much more passionate. And while I was there, I was able to meet so many incredible people who are at the front line of conservation. The facility didn't have any other volunteers, so I took a little bit of a head on it. I was one of the only volunteers who had been there who had previous experience with that kind of field work with animal care and interpretation and things like that. And so I did it. I was able to do field trips for schools. I was able to teach in Spanglish. So, you know, combination of Spanish and English. And it was just an incredible experience that has encouraged me to live my best life to every moment.
James, with all your travels, do you have any cool events that you want to talk about and bring up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, specifically NAI related. Coming up next February, we just announced our regional workshop coming up. So that's going to be super exciting. Now, I did say it's next February. So for all of you in Region 6 and our South Central region, you got time to save up. It'll be in Amarillo, Texas for February 16th to 20th. And I will be one of the volunteer people for it. So if you were interested in volunteering and you think I'm cool enough, you want to hang out with me, definitely look into that because it'll be a great experience. And we're just going to have an incredible time all together. Now, if you are not part of Region 6, that does not mean you are not invited. Every single one of you is invited to go if you find yourself in Texas or or near there at the time, because there's going to be so many incredible resources from lots of amazing people. So yeah, I'll be there, and I hope to see other people there as well.
I was also going to ask you, you're new to the YPC, which is the Young Professional Council for NAI. What got you interested in joining that? And then sort of a follow-up question with it, why do you think these younger perspectives are important to the field?
Yeah, so for me, YPC was something that just came out of the blue, right? I'm always looking for things to expand and be able to connect with people, because I think together is how we change everything, right? The strength in groups is so important. So I actually visited our national conference in 2023 in Little Rock, Arkansas. And it was an incredible experience. You know, it's funny when you put a bunch of us in one room, you're like, wow, I'm not that alone, right? And it was just an incredible experience. And I met some incredible people there who were on the YPC or worked with the YPC, and they really encouraged me on it to apply. So I was like, maybe I will. Maybe this is something where I really see my future in. And the drive was just that ability to bring young professionals to what we do, because there are, growing up, I didn't see anybody who was close to my age, you know, in zoos or aquariums, specifically those facilities that I went to. And so being that person, being able to connect with a wide range of people who are in this time of changing, right? This constant change. Just as this awesome conference coming up is going to be, you know, talking about changing tides. I mean, this is what we're living in. And so us as 18 to 35 around there, it's so, so important that we come together with everybody else as well to encourage young people to really speak their mind and grow from it.
Did work send you to the national conference, or did you find that on your own? Like, how did you find NAI?
Yeah, my first hearing about NAI was actually through the Dallas Zoo. When I first arrived there, I heard some people talking about CIG and a few different things, as somebody on my team had just done our virtual certification and gotten his. And so from there, I started to do some research, started to really get into what is NAI, and got really excited. And then I saw we had a national conference coming up. So I asked the zoo, we're able to fill out a form and apply for it. And the Dallas Zoo was very kind and actually paid for part of it, as well as giving just a few days of paid time to be able to go. And so when I came back, I was able to do a presentation. But the rest of it, I was incredibly lucky and grateful to get a grant to be able to go. I didn't think I was going to get the grant, but I was like, you know what, let's apply. Let's see, right? Because you don't know what could have happened if you don't take the opportunity. So I did. And I got an incredible grant that paid for the majority of it. I just hopped on an Amtrak train and went all the way to Little Rock and stayed in an awesome hotel where I just took the elevator down to all of our amazing talks and sections as well. So yeah, it was a little bit half and half. Everybody helped me along the way.
Yeah, James, last year's conference is where I met you for the first time. And, you know, you're such an inviting personality. I felt connected right away. Did you have a favorite session that you attended, or something that stuck out to you?
Ooh, I'm trying to think. There was one, and it kind of, I forget the exact name of it, but basically we're talking about population increases and how to teach education about like population increase and how it affects our world, right? Because that's one of the things that we haven't experienced, you know, before, is a skyrocketing population. And I was really captivated because of the activities we played. I mean, you know, I talk about my ADHD, I need hands-on, you know, if I'm not using a fidget toy, I need to be doing an activity. And it was just an incredible bringing in of activity plus just a bunch of knowledge and really lots of incredible information that helped me going back to my job at the zoo or the aquarium, where talking about population is a way of conservation, talking about reducing our impact per individual is an important part of it. So I remember activities were hands-on. We were had a bowl of water, and then we told a story. And with different parts of the story, you'd like pour dirt in the water. You'd put broken popsicle sticks in there to represent like the wood and things like that. And by the end, the water was dirty. And you asked, would you drink it? Right? Of course I said no, right? And so that's a great way, whether it's kids or adults, it's an activity that I brought with me to the Dallas Zoo that I absolutely love as well.
Do you mind me asking what your education is?
Yeah, so I actually do not have a degree. That was one of the things that in my life I was really debating on. Was I going to go to school or not? And there were a lot of scholarships that I had the ability to apply for, but I just decided a little bit a different path. I felt what was right for me was just to go, right? In capital letters. And so I did. Now, that being said, I've taken a few classes. I actually got a diploma in wildlife and forestry conservation from Penn Foster, as well as I've taken a few classes through a website called EDX. And it is a super cool website that offers free classes. So one of the ones I took was Health Effects of Climate Change from Harvard. And so you get some incredible resources on there for free. You can pay for the certificate if you would like, but you get so many incredible professors and information that just really helps me along for somebody who would have had a hard time paying for school and things like that.
Yeah, and kudos to your jobs for breaking down that barrier, right? And not requiring that for you to become an employee, because it sounds like they're very lucky to have you. Did you take the CIG, the Certified Interpretive Guide? You did.
I did. Yeah. Actually, in January, I was able to take it at the Dallas Zoo. It was one of our kind of last minute classes that popped up just a few months before. And as soon as I saw it, I applied, and the zoo did help me a little bit through it, as well as sending a lot of our supervisors, and I loved it. I mean, it just, there's so much that added on to what I do at the zoo and gave me so many new perspectives on it. And also watching everybody else present was so much fun, because you had people from all over teaching about so many different things. I learned how to change a diaper in my CIG class, as well as learned about a specific video game and how to play it and the different strategies. It was just all around. It was so much fun.
We've mentioned, I think, a few times that you are in the Young Professionals Council and you are a young professional. Do you, when you're working, you don't need to call anybody out or anything like that, but I'm curious if you see a difference in generations as far as the way you work, the way you maybe interact with the public, the way you use technology. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's very funny, because everybody has their like shtick, what they're really, really good at, right? And I think when it comes to my team is actually predominantly younger. Like their majority of them are young professionals, but there are some people who, don't fall in that category of young professionals, but have really taken on the form of it. Now, that being said, in my career, I've seen, a couple different times where maybe there was a little bit of trouble bringing electronic things in, right? Bringing this new perspective into it versus like a physical writing or paper, just to really connect with younger generations. And so, sometimes there are walls up. There are sometimes walls put up a long time ago, because electronics have really connected us. So for those who might not have used electronics, it can still be difficult for them to be as understanding to how awesome they can be, right? Because I know growing up, I was told that the TV, if I watched too much, was going to rot my brain. But a lot of what I've learned to teach about animals has come for those electronics. And I really think it just comes from, we connected as a world. Like I can look at my TikTok and see somebody over in Africa teaching about an African elephant, right? And I feel like generations before didn't really have those resources or use them today. So making that connection is just so, so different for individuals who might not be young professionals or focus on that.
James, I love that you brought up TikTok because I feel like that's such a thing for our generation and it's utilized. Have you all at the Dallas Zoo, have you seen that you've used new technology in that way, sort of in your specific position or just in general at the zoo?
Yeah, we actually had a super incredible opportunity where we brought two new tablets in as well to play different animal sounds and things like that on and have a physical thing to be able to show individuals. But on that note of interpretation, we have people from all over the planet that, you know, follow social media, whether it's at the zoo or the aquarium or, you know, my own personal social media. There are people from all over the planet. So, you know, seeing our ability to, like yesterday, post all of our incredible eclipse videos of the animals moving and smiling faces and all those different things just gave people who might not have the opportunity to come out really connect with those situations. So I think that's been an incredible change that I've seen. And, you know, at 24 years old, changing over these generations is the use of social media and the connection with people who might not be able to be there that day.
You know, again, we were talking earlier a little bit about hope, and you were in the path of totality for the eclipse, which is very cool. And we talked a little bit about, and this was earlier, how you felt like it was uniting and I, you know, sort of almost community building. Did you feel a sense of hope?
Yeah, hope is an incredible thing. You know, I think all of us, you know, hope is one of those universal terms that no matter who you say hope to, they have that feeling inside of them. They know when they've felt hope or been at a lack of hope, right? And in that moment where you're staring up at this incredible, incredible astronomical event, and you're all united, right? It didn't matter what you looked like, where you were from, what you had to go through in your past. We were all on the same stage watching this incredible thing. And I just remember when the sun fully disappeared and you see the halo around it, just this awesome wow that just went through everybody, right? Of all ages, of all backgrounds, all at that point. And I think hope is so important because hope comes from inside us, right? We help create it, but others can help create it too, right? There were many people in my life who were not hyped for the eclipse coming. You know, they didn't know what was going to happen when the eclipse came on out. And the moment that they saw it and they felt the temperature drop and they heard everybody together at once, it really created this kind of, like you said, unity, right? This coming together. And in a world of, you know, over 8 billion people now, there's only one of us, right? So there's that individuality as well, that I am a person and I am my own individual, but that we can all come together as separate individuals to become a group and make something happen, right? So that day where we were seeing 4,000 people all there to see the same thing was just absolutely incredible and just really increased my faith in interpretation and changing minds and what it looks like when we all come together to make a difference.
I appreciate that. I wonder where you got that from, because anecdotally we hear that the youth are sort of losing hope, right? Like there's all kinds of things happening in the world that that can kind of bring you down. And I wonder where that came from. Was that your family, or where do you think you got that?
It was 100% my mom. She deserves the world. My mom is an incredible woman who really showed me hope and gave me unconditional love growing up. And let me tell you, as a kid with ADHD, with a mind that didn't work like other kids, she was on the phone every other day with my teachers calling her. And never once did she give up on me, right? She might've been worried a few times, but never once did she give up on me. And so seeing that and seeing that love and, you know, her care for other people as well, you know, that she was always the person to offer to bring somebody dinner when they were sick and weren't able to cook. And so, you know, parties, bringing people together was just a huge part of growing up. So, you know, I never had a chance to, you know, be at a lack of hope. I mean, sure, there were always times where there was, but my mom was always there to hype me up for the next biggest thing. So I'm incredibly grateful for her because I take that with me in my interpretation. She is a part of my interpretation. I tell people all the time because they're like, wow, you're awesome. And I'm like, yeah, I thank my mom for the incredible ability to be able to do so. And she also likes to talk. So that makes it nice too.
I feel like this is such a typical interview question, especially for young professionals, because we're so early in our career. But, you know, where do you see yourself? Like, as we're talking about hope, you know, your goals, your hope for the next few years, you in this field, what's your hope for that?
Yeah, there's so much. You know, it's like, when you have dreams, I always tell people, when you have a dream, go for it. Like, write it down, keep it there, and accomplish it, whether it's in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, wherever it is. It is so important, right? So for me, one of my biggest things is, I always said that by 40, I would have my own nonprofit. So that's something I work on right now, is making connections with a lot of people. I really would love a nonprofit that really focuses in international and around the world education for environmental studies, specifically with youth, because like we talked about hope, right? It seems like our generation, it's just really escaping them. It's because, you know, there aren't always hopeful things being thrown at them, right? And so that's one of my biggest goals. By 30, I want to have visited all 7 continents. Antarctica is going to be the hard one because it's pretty expensive, but traveling the world, experiencing cultures from all over the planet, just really gives me that hope. Seeing people who are happy every single day. When I was in the Amazon, you know, watching an 85-year-old man hike up the mountain with his, banana leaves on his back and just smiling and whistling away, just really gave me hope to this happiness and wherever you live or whatever you're going through at the time.
So here's another one of those interview questions, but I am curious what advice you would give young people sort of either getting into this field, into interpretation, or whatever field they're interested in.
Yeah, don't stop. You know, there are so many walls, but, you know, be the Hulk, break through those walls, because life is too short. You know, again, it's coming from a young professional, right? Life is too short and it moves by fast. And so doing all these things and accomplishing your dreams and hopes is extremely important. And you want to be able to look back and smile at those things that happen. So don't give up and continue forward through adversity, because, you know, there's only one you. Like I mentioned earlier, there's one of you and 8 billion people on the planet. Usually I do it with my young kiddos, especially when they're upset or, you know, they're feeling a little distant from the group or that they don't like the artwork that they made. That's usually what it is. I write down the number 8 billion and I put a 1 next to it. And I said, this is you. And then we subtract it together. And that means there are 7,999,999,999 people who are not you, right? So that just specialness should mean everything to every individual.
Do you have any goals with the YPC? You know, I mean, you obviously applied to be on the Young Professionals Council. And I'm curious if now that you've had a few meetings, and I know it was sort of drinking from a fire hose the first few times because we gave you a lot of information, but now that maybe you're starting to get a little settled, do you have any goals? Where do you see yourself in the YPC?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest goals is just connecting with so many people. You know, we have such a strong council right now and such a strong group that it is really, really special to be a part of. So I'm just happy for what the future comes, right? Because I'm serving a 3-year term with that right now. So it'll be interesting to see what the future comes, but just helping create resources for young professionals, to help create resources for those who really need those things to connect and continue their careers. And, you know, one thing that isn't a part of the council, but really was introduced to me by the council is our mentor and mentee program. I mean, what better resource than to be able to connect with people who either maybe are like-minded or maybe you want to, you know, switch it up and learn some different things. It's such a great program that was introduced to me through YPC. And I believe a lot of us are either mentors or mentees, and that's just been a great program. So if you want to be a mentee, remember my name is James Berlin, and you can find me on there because I love meeting new people and helping young professionals and others grow.
That's awesome. I'm happy to hear you say that. NAI is certainly a place where you can make connections and network, and it really is a grassroots organization, so you can make affect change if you want to.
James, thanks so much for joining Heather and I today. It's been such a pleasure and such an inspiring conversation to talk to you today.
We look forward to what you have to bring to NAI and the YPC for sure. So thank you.
Yeah, and thank you both for having me on. It's such an incredible experience. And, you know, what better platform to spread those incredible experiences and things. So I'm incredibly grateful. Thank you, guys. And interpreters,
that's what's up.